We take a look at the beginning of Parshat Vayeshev. We have a description of the interaction between Yosef and his brothers, the role Yosef HaTzadik had with his brothers, which is supposed to give us some understanding of the later, the hatred, and ultimately the sale of Yosef HaTzadik. Before even the Chumash tells us about the dreams that Yosef HaTzadik had said to his brothers, there was something even before that that began the tensions in the home. And this is found in the second pasuk. These are the chronicles of Yaakov. Yosef, at the age of 17, was a shepherd with his brothers of the flock, but he was a youth with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Yosef would bring evil reports about them to their father. Now Yisrael loved Yosef more than the sons, other sons, since he was a child of his old age, and he made for him a coat. When we take a look at this pasuk, it's very, very wordy, the second pasuk, and we need to understand what was the role of Yosef HaTzadik. He was shepherding with the brothers, he was with B'nai Zilpah and B'nai Bilhah, and what we do know about him, which was obviously going to create some tension, was that Vayaveti Batam Ra'al Avihem, he would bring evil reports about them to their father. So it's almost like Yosef HaTzadik was like a spy among the other brothers, and whatever bad that he saw, he would tattletale to his father. Well, if that's not bad enough, when we take a look at Rashi, what it was that Yosef HaTzadik brought to his father, it makes it even more glaring that we need to understand what's going on here. Rashi tells us this is based on Chazal, at Dibatam Ra'ah, what was the negative things that he says. So the first thing is, in any evil he would see in his brothers, the sons of Leah, according to the Ramban, it was the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, that's irrelevant for us now, Hayah Magid L'Aviv, he would tell it to his father. Now what were some of these things? Shayu Ochlim Ever Minachai, they would eat a limb which was detached from a living animal. Umizalzalim Bivnei Hashvacho, they would belittle the sons of the secondary wives by calling them servants. The Chashudim Allah Rayos, in different Gersot and Rashi, they were suspect about immoral relationships. Ubishlosh Tamlaka, in retribution, Yosef was stricken in all three. Alever Minachai, when they sold him, they shechted the animal to dip his coat in the blood. They didn't eat it alive. They didn't eat it while alive. And the fact that they called them slaves, he was sold as a slave, and the fact that they were involved in this immorality, Yosef HaTzadik had a deal with Eshet Potiphar, who tried to seduce him. So, where Rashi gets this from is really, if we take a look at the Medrash in source number 29, it's really from the text itself, from the Chumash itself. The Medrash Rabbah in the Dat in 29 says, Rabbi Meir learns it, Ro'eh Tachav Batso. The Pasuk says that he was shepherding the sheep with his brothers, Batso, with the sheep. Now obviously, what else do you shepherd but sheep? So the fact that Batso, the sheep, is extra, it had to do with what he spoke about, had to do with sheep, Ever Minachai. The Pasuk says, V'nar Neshei Aviv, the wives of his father. That's extra. Obviously, these are the wives of his father, these children. That was chashudim. It was suspect about things having to do with women. And the fact of Bilhah and Zilpah, says Rabbi Yehuda, is Bivnei Ashvachos, calling them avadim, calling them servants. When we take a look at this Rashi, we have to ask ourselves, and that's going to be Ritz Hashem, our study today. First and foremost, how can we understand that these great people, the Shifteka, the 12 tribes, the holiest of all the holies, how can we say they were involved in doing these things that Yosef HaTzadik is bringing this to his father? That's first and foremost. Second is, how could Yosef HaTzadik even say such a thing? Like, if this is Lashon Hara, he's not allowed to say these things. What is, quote-unquote, the sin of Yosef HaTzadik? Three, let's try to understand this mida keneged mida, this measure for measure is very intense. Try to understand a little bit more deeper. What is each aspect of the measure for measure that Yosef HaTzadik gets punished? And finally, and this is perhaps the most compelling of the questions, the question that a number of Mefarshi brings, Sefer Aros for Epstein brings, V'ine in source 2, Yaakov b'mkom lo chiech et Yosef al yisur lashon hara, katuv shahav et Yosef v'kol banav ki ben zikunim ulo v'asalo katon epasim. Yaakov Avinu, instead of rebuking his son, which would be in the correct recourse, he loves him even more. He makes for him a fine coat. Like, what's going on here? It doesn't seem to stem. It doesn't seem to make sense. We need to be able to understand a little bit deeper what's at play here and what we can learn for our lives. So, first and foremost, how do we understand what the brothers were involved with? So, Rav Milevsky, near Uziel, in English, quotes a very famous approach that's brought in many, many of the Mefarshim. And he says that Yosef and his brothers are having here a very deep controversy. And both of them felt that this was L'shem Shemayim for the sake of God. Yosef was convinced that his brothers were guilty of three mortal sins. A heavy bill of indictment, indeed. The first and third transgressions are not exclusively Jewish. They are part of the universal code of behavior known as the Noahide laws, which apply to all mankind. We would think it is inconceivable that the sons of Yaakov would knowingly have violated two of the seven Noahide laws. The second infraction of which Yosef accused them seems to indicate, in addition to their spiritual shortcomings, Yosef's brothers had a serious character flaw as well. It's difficult to reconcile this negative image with these great people. So Ever Minachai and Arayos and Morelli are part of the laws of B'nai Noah. Clearly, they're over on two out of the seven, which is pretty bad. And calling them B'nai Ashvachos, calling them slaves, that's just not nice. That's not moral character. How do we understand this? So in his commentary on the Torah of Yehuda Rosen, the author of Mishnah Lamelech, explains that Yosef's negative opinion of his brother was based in a fundamental difference in ideological perspectives. The brothers believed that the return of Yaakov's family to the land of Canaan heralded a new period in their history, the age of the Jew. Prior to this stage, the patriarchs and descendants had been considered righteous Gentiles, and they were bound by the Noahide laws. The brothers thought Yaakov's return to the land of Canaan had elevated them to the spiritual dimension of the Jew, who is dominated not by the Noahide laws, but the laws of Torah. Like their father Yaakov, Yosef's brothers believed that God's promise to Abraham concerning an imminent 400 year term in exile in a foreign land had already been fulfilled. And that's the idea that Yaakov felt that this was time, Vayeshev Yaakov v'shava, to sit in peace, time for Mashiach is coming, that's it. Yosef, on the other hand, maintained that the return to the land was merely a temporary respite that would soon give way to the longest and darkest exile they ever experienced. They were in the pre-exile era. Yosef reasoned the Noahide law still applied to them. Only when they would emerge from the upcoming exile would they enter the higher spiritual status of Torah law. Now we can appreciate what's going on here. Yosef suspected his brother's transgression and prohibition of eating the flesh of a live animal when he saw them slaughter an animal and cut off its flesh while still in death throes. According to Noahide laws, it's forbidden for a Gentile to cut off or eat the limb of a live animal under any circumstance. If a Gentile were to slaughter an animal, he would be obligated to wait until it stopped withering and grew perfectly still. The Torah ever rules that a Jew may cut off the flesh of a ritually slaughtered animal while still convulsing. So this we can clearly understand. The brothers think that this is the law of the Torah. They're allowed to do this. Yosef HaTzadik is looking at them as B'nai Noach, says this is Ever Minachai. Likewise, by the recognizing the right of a Gentile to own a fellow human being, the Noahite laws do not recognize such a thing. The Jews do recognize such a thing, so to call them, the maidservant's sons, as slaves, okay, they never intended this as a slur. The fact is that according to the Torah, that was their true legal status, so they're just calling a spade. So, by Noahite laws, you're right. To call them a slave is inconceivable. There's no such thing as slavery. According to Judaism, we do have slaves. We have an Ivri, we have a Canaanite, and that's what they were. And therefore, it was correct to call them this. This is exactly who they were. And likewise, he explains in source number 7 how you could perhaps understand this third aspect of marrying a Gentile woman who's already married, if she converts, so she doesn't need a divorce document. Again, Noachet laws versus Torah laws are very different. So Yosef, therefore, cited his dream as proof that he was correct in his perception that Yaakov's household was still in the pre-exile mode. He interpreted the imagery of the brother's sheaves bowing down to his sheaf as a heavenly sign that the brothers must submit to his attitudes. And they did not agree. So when we talk about this section, and again, it's an imperative to remember what the Talmud Das brings down in source number 3. We don't understand this section. You know, just to learn something, the Kol Mishalu made Parshios HaTorah B'Sefer Breishit Kipshuto Shemikra. We just learn it as a story, you know, the way a kindergarten teacher teaches that we are missing it. We don't understand it. That is not what these stories are about. They have every word, every letter, Tmunim V'Gnuzim Sodot Lein Sipur, have so many deep secrets in it. Ula Olam Nuluchal Litpos Afilu Kitipa Minayam. We're not even going to get to, like, you know, a drop in the ocean of understanding the depth of what's going on here. And clearly, these are Shiftei Ka, these are great people. We have no understanding what's going on. Whatever we say is just from our limited vantage point without in any way giving any type of character assessment or understanding. We're just trying to bring down the Mefarshim as we have it, to gain some type of insight for our lives without indicting anyone, obviously. So when we take a look at this Rashi, that Yosef Atzadi, you know, implicated them on these very, very grave charges, so we need to understand that it's not what meets the eye. It seems to be terrible things. It's not. These were just a fundamental difference between the Noahide laws and the Jewish laws, and where what their status was. That was where the major difference lied, and that's how we need to be able to approach this Rashi. And in parentheses, there are many, many levels of understanding what these things are on a much, much deeper level. That's not going to be our discussion for today. Let us, however, focus in on Yosef HaTzadik. How could he say such a things about his brothers? Why doesn't he ask them, you know, understand it, talk to his father about it? It seems to be very, very intense what he says, as well as his punishment seems to be very intense. So let's focus a little bit now on Yosef HaTzadik. So first and foremost, we even begin to analyze what he says and what perhaps, again, on our limited understanding, is the sin. We have to keep in mind an insight that the Birkas Mordechai Rav Mizrachi brings down, which is so beautiful, and the way Rav Mizrachi writes is so poetic and so beautiful, which is really a lesson for not only about Yosef HaTzadik, a lesson for us. And he says in source number 8, in the asterisk, HaTorah mevakeshe shlemut. The Torah demands of us wholeness. What does wholeness mean? Hatama ben kol chelkei ruchniyoto shel adam. Nefesh v'guf al chelkeihem midot hargashot kushot hanakot u'masim. It has to be that a person is what we call a well-balanced person. Their thoughts, their actions, their speech, what they do, it's all complementary one with each other. Like we see later with the brothers. V'lo yachol dabro l'shalom. They couldn't speak to him in peace. What they felt, they acted out. Perhaps that's not the best recourse, but they were honest. There was this shlemus. There was this wholeness. And that's what has to be found in every single person. There has to be, he calls it, a harmonia mushlemet. A full picture harmony within a person. And that's really a call for each one of us. You know, oftentimes we espouse certain ideas and we think certain things should be done, but our actions don't reflect this. And we're living, you know, hypocrisy all the time. What the Torah demands from us is if you believe in something, then act that way. And if you say something, you should be thinking that way. And that is the way we can have a person who is shalem. Zoi be'etzem atana klapa Yosef HaTzadik. And this is really the issue with Yosef HaTzadik. Sulamo Magia Shemaima. He was the greatest of the great. Right? The top of the ladder is in the heavens. Maftecho HaMuzukali Kavua Bashchakim. Right? He's playing beautiful musical harmonies in heaven. Kol Nimei Nafsho Meitarav Hut Amu L'Sulam Negina Gvoha. And all the notes he plays reflect this great, beautiful song. Ela she'ozer shamayim hevchina lepeta vavshan yemucha kol she'ichosir te'um srima. And suddenly, in heaven, again, this language is so beautiful, they hear a little bit of, you know, playing off the wrong note. You know, and again, you know, you and I may not be able to hear this, but a conductor, and obviously, the Havdil Elef Alfei Havdolim in Shamayim, they say, you're playing such a beautiful song in your life. This is off-key, and it sounds horrible. You know, like when they scratch it, like, oh, like you hold on tight. Umay be'etzem narus. This is when he's described as a nar. Naru ba'al vatei choser bashlud. Amuvugar ole al ramata uter vohot yoter. The Chumash describes Yosef HaTzadik as a nar, and the Sfornos, we'll see later, says this is why Yosef HaTzadik brought these reports. A nar, a youngster, 17 years old, isn't able to fully weigh the consequences of his actions. And he acts based on what he sees right here and now, without taking into consideration the whole picture, without understanding what will happen because of, and is there another perspective, and to be able to see things in their entirety. And that, if we had to understand, what is, again, on the level of Yosef HaTzadik, says Rav Mizrachi, the off-key, the failing, that terrible screeching sound, it would be this narus, as passionate. It's not becoming of him. He acted in a way that was not becoming of his stature. Sham, in the end of nine, Mishchakei Gvahot Shel Yosef HaTzadik, there was B'tizmur Eloi Shalem V'Harmoni Echad HaMeitarim Sheben Alfei Kinoratav Nischak Kol Shehu B'Shnei Marom Nikletav Srima Nikbav Chana V'Hunar. Up in heaven, they said, everything is like really going well by Yosef HaTzadik except for this. He's a nar. He's acting in a way that's inappropriate. And what was the result of acting in this way? The result was that he said he brought this dibara, he brought this negative report to his father. It's coming from a place of being a nar. It's coming from a place of being a youngster. Just take a look at the Sforna for a moment in source number 42. Umipnei naruto chata lavi dibat haaretz ki lo nisa v'lo itbonen la'achris dover afalpi shayaz maskil ma'od. Even though he was very intelligent and way beyond his years, this narness, we call it narishkeit, right? This acting as a child was what threw him off. What were the results of this? So this is the dibara. This is bringing this evil report. Notzul Titchel Yom, quoting from Afi Keyam, which is also very quoted by the Mefarshim, he says, what was the sin of Yosef HaTzadik? What does it mean that he was a nar? So he says, Reshid in the arrow in 12, Matgisha Tarav, Unara b'nei Bilav, b'nei Zopan, Neshe Aviv, She Yosef lo yachol lo chicha. Part of being a nar was not only that he acted perhaps in an impetuous way, but also because he felt like, who am I to give rebuke to my older brothers? Ki yadashe mistaklim alav ken nar tzair. He saw himself as young. He therefore reflected that his older brothers looked at him in this way and that they wouldn't listen to him. So therefore, Vayaveh, Yosef took this information to their father without adding. He took it exactly as is, El Avihem, and he said it to his father, Lutoelet, so that his father, not just a tattletale on him, but rather that the father should be Mochiach, should rebuke him. So what was wrong with this? Says the Rambam, in the bracket in 12, Haroa chaveru shechata, you see somebody who's sinning, o shalach b'derech lo tova, or they're not going on the proper way, mitzvah lachzivro l'mutav, obviously, a lot of complicated and specific details, you have to try to bring them back, it's a mitzvah to bring them back, v'lo diyoshu chotel l'tzmo b'masav ha-ra'im, and tell them, you know what, you're going astray, you're not doing what's appropriate. You have to give rebuke. And if you see that your rebuke isn't helping, then you tell your father or your Rebbe or their Rebbe they should handle it. Yosef HaTzadik, what was the problem here? It wasn't so much the dibara, it wasn't what he said, because what he said was trying to give them, father to give them Musar. It was the fact that he didn't first try to rebuke them, that he didn't try first to make them change, he didn't try to talk to them. And the fact that he didn't try this, and he just went ahead, first and foremost, to speak negatively about them, to give their father information which may not have been necessary. Had he told them, then the father would never have known about it, and they would have improved. The fact that his father now has a negative report about them, just because he himself didn't try, it's so sublime, but it's so major. Lamrota kota chait, haita tviya al totzata chait. Even though what we're talking about here seems to be like such a, you know, it's okay, he made a mistake. The repercussions are so great. Notes of Chavit Chaim, Hinein Yan Yosef 13, Achav, Hey, Richa, Taram, Obed, Sipurin, Yan, Adotav, Adot, Achav. The Torah goes into great details about him, about the brothers, and how from this came, ultimately, going down to Egypt, Kedei Shemizeh, Yikach, Kol Adam, Musar, Ech, Shezarich, Lishmor, Pivul, Shono. It's not just something small. Okay, so he told his fathers. No. The repercussions, ramifications are amazing. Because of this, we went down to Egypt. And we have to understand this. And we have to understand how careful we have to be about what we say to other people. When we read this type of story and we hear that he brought the dibara, the evil reports about them to his father, know that it's that from evil reports, from Lashon Hara, comes a tremendous, tremendous ripple effect that's very severe. Until Ad Hayom Hazeh, he says, in 13, we had the Asara Hurgei Malchus, right, the 10 martyrs. Right? That we read El Eskara, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur are coming from this story. So we can't just say, well, you know, he made a mistake. He said things he shouldn't have said. What we have to realize are what happens when we say things. It's not just, oh, I said something. When I say something and I shouldn't have said it, I give out. Think 40 times before you say it, because you don't know what could happen because of what you say of what you say. And that's why the Talmud Dobi Ador Rav Karam says this. He says, Im kol zor aleinu lizkor shemashiach tabatara kisipur eno sipur elu sefer adrachel adoro. Obviously, we can't talk about Yosef HaTzadik and the brothers. They're so great and so beyond us. At the same time, the Torah here is telling us a story for us to learn. We can't enter into the shoes of Yosef HaTzadik for getting and understanding this. How careful you have to be. Specifically here, when they did nothing wrong. Right? So, how careful you have to be. And you have to be careful even when you think it's mutter to speak about it. Here, Yosef HaTzadik, in his estimation, again as a nar, the way he played the notes on his musical instrument, was, they're not going to listen to me, so I'm going to tell my father, this is my mitzvah of tochacha, my mitzvah of review. Understand how careful we have to be to say only that which we can say and not an iota more. And we have to kind of keep this in mind. Says Rav Kram, it's verse 14, and it's very intense. He says, sometimes you have teachers talking in a teacher's room about a certain student. And sometimes it's really the toilet. Yes, sometimes it really is for the benefit of the student. At the same time, you can only say exactly what you need to say and not anything more. And sometimes it's a slippery slope. You start talking about this kid and you say, oh, you know what he did to me a week ago? And then last year I heard the teacher say, it's not relevant for right now. If it's not relevant for right now, drop it. And he says likewise. When a parent goes to a professional, a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a social worker, whoever you go to, about a child. So you think, you can say anything you want about this child, so it's going to be helpful. Think before you speak. What is necessary for this therapist to know? Share. If it's not necessary to know, don't share. And this is something important for us to understand. You know, sometimes we think, well, if I'm allowed to, and it's la toilet, and it's for a good purpose, so then the door's open. You know, just fill it with anything you want. No. And that's what we have to understand from this Rashi, that Yosef HaTzadik gets severely punished for this. He was allowed to say this. So the question is, was he allowed to say this? What he said was exactly what he needed to say. And here's where we have to learn from this Rashi, from Chumash, to really weigh our words, to be very precise, say what we need to say, and nothing more. And again, that's the language of Rashi. Kol ra'ah shaya ro'eh be'achav haya magid l'aviv. All bad that he saw, he would tell his father. And then goes on to list specific three things. The question is, were there other things that he also saw that he told his father, which were not part of these three things that were not necessary to say? And this is what we need to understand, how careful we have to be of what we say. Let's take this idea of Yosef HaTzadik and his speech one step further, Chayei Levav. And he says, Tchila Navin 15, Amach Haria Afagado, Badu Yosef Ne'enash Ba'ofen Kol Chamor Dibur Shel Lo Kelecha. Okay, so perhaps what he said was a little bit off. It was the screeching of the violin strings. Okay, he gets so severely punished for every single thing he said. He gets punished for it. Seems to be a bit intense. So he explains the following. He says, Acha Inyan Hi, Sheyakov Havet Yosef Biko Banav Vekimu V'limdo Torah. Yaakov Avinu taught Yosef HaTzadik deeper levels of Torah. He looked at him, he saw in him greatness, future greatness. He made him a ketonet pasi. He made him the coat of many colors, and we know the ketonet is levushei kahuna umalchus. Throughout Tanakh, you see that a ketonet pasi was royal clothes, royal robes. That he really looked at him as, you know, the leader. The Kohen, the Melech, the leader. Umekevan, listen closely, because this is so important in the asterisk in 15. Umekevan, she Yosef, you know, manhig lechav, because Yosef, he was with the brothers, he was there as, so to speak, the supervisor. Haya manhig lechav, gadla alava tviya shivatayim. Therefore, the implication against him is going to be that much greater. When he mentions their shortcomings. Why? Ki mitafkido shel hamolech lispo v'lased et chesronot hamunagim al yadam. The role of a leader, the role of a parent, the role of a teacher, the role of a community member, the role of a rav, fill in the blank, whatever leader you want, is to focus in on the positive traits and not to focus in on the negative traits. To be able to say, okay, never is perfect. Okay, you have to deal with it, you have to work with it, but your attitude should be, go home and tell your father the wonderful things the brothers have. They're amazing in A, B, and C. Okay, they need help in Q, R, and S. But look at A, B, and C. Moshe Rabbeinu, Mecheni Na Misifrecha, erase me from your book. The leaner is about being able to focus in on the good. So Yosef HaTzadik v'hunar, now we're understanding nar at a whole different level. He is the nar, the lad who's supposed to be in charge of the brothers, right? The point man, so to speak. His level of responsibility is that much greater to focus in, obviously, to be able to tell his father when things go wrong. That's the job of a leader. But focus in on the positive and be less hyper about every single thing that goes wrong. A leader has to build. It's so easy to destroy. It's much, much harder to build, right? Take a building, shoop, right? One stick of dynamite, you can destroy a whole building. One word, you can destroy a person. To build a building, to build a person, much harder, much harder. And the second aspect says, "V'chayei levav ot v'alav mitzad acher Yosef b'nasha Racheli." Yosef was the son of Rachel Imenu. And what was Rachel Imenu's great quintessential mark? Tafsapel Shika. She was known for her ability to be silent, not to speak. And you see this by Binyamin. His quality, the children of Rachel Imenu, are quality of silence. So here, Yosef HaTzadik should have learned from his mother how to weigh his words much, much greater. With this, we can appreciate that Yosef HaTzadik is not using his words in the way he should. We can appreciate why his onesh, his punishment, was part of his punishment was being sold as a slave. Why? Ki ikar adam v'chol binyan komato heim botav ruch mamala. What makes a person, the end of 16, is the capacity to speak. That this is what builds the Tzelem Elokim, this is what builds the divine image within a person. This is the Kli Umnos, this is the greatness of a person. And Achoval Ishlod in 17, Medibur, this is the ability to be careful what we say, is the hallmark of knowing who a person is. That as Rav Finkus himself says, if a car doesn't have brakes, you don't go driving. If a person doesn't know how to hold back their tongue, don't start talking, right? This is what makes a person who they are. If you're not careful about what you say, so we really have to question, who are you as a person? If you can't control yourself, so then you are going to be put into having someone else control you. Very, very powerful. That's the midah kenegimidah. Yosef HaTzadik, you're not able to control what you say, right? Whatever you see bad, you say. So I have a little secret to tell you. On the level of Yosef HaTzadik, the quality of each and every one of us that makes us human is our ability to speak. You know, as Rav Volbe says so beautifully, kids, we don't have to teach them how to talk. You know, parents get really hyper. My child's only saying X amount of words at age 2, at age 2.5, at age 3. Don't worry, kids are going to talk ad ein sof. What we have to teach kids is how to be quiet. How not to say everything they say, they feel. How not to say everything they think. Right? We know this about kids. Whatever they think, oh, your nose is so funny, right? Whatever that comes into their mind, they say. What we have to teach a child is circumspect. Think before you speak. What we're really teaching a child is to be a ben adam, is to be a person, is to have control of this aspect. And says the Chayei Levav, and it's very intense. He says, Yosef HaTzadik should have been Melech and Kohen, a king and the priest. But because he didn't act in this way, and he focused in on the negative aspects, and he wasn't worthy of this, and he lost. Kachuv Shat Yosef, B'yedeha M'deha Melech V'Kohen, V'eli Chalku Ben Levi V'Yehuda. He lost both. One went to Levi, one went to Yehuda. This is showing us, my friends, if nothing else, the power of leadership and the power of speech. And how careful, because all of us are leaders. All of us are leaders in our own small worlds, in our own small families. How careful we have to be to build. How careful we have to be with what we say. Just to take this one step further, is a piece he says in 19 and 20, which we'll do outside. You know what the repercussions of not being careful of speech is about? Gevaldik. We know that when Yosef HaTzadik is going to look for his brothers, v'nei toeva sadeh, he's wandering the field, and he meets a person. The person asks him, what are you looking for? And he says, etachai enochi mavakesh, I'm looking for my brothers. Ifohim are we? Where are they, shepherding? So this Ish, who's no one other than the Malach Gavriel, says to him, Nasumise, they left from here. And I heard them saying they're going to Dotaina. So Rashi brings down that the Moloch was speaking on two levels. Nasu Mize is really, they have left the Zeh. The Zeh is the 10 tribes, the Gematria. Zeh is the 12. They've left the unity and brotherhood. They left it. Nasu Mize. They're no longer brothers, they're ready to kill you. Dotaina, they are plotting against you. So if you take a look at the words of the Pasuk, you can see it as a simple thing, which is what Yosef saw it as. Oh, they left him here, they're going to Dotan. Okay, I'll go to Dotan. Or you can look at it a little bit deeper. They left from their brotherhood, and they're plotting to kill you. Says Chaye Levav, a gevaldik point. Yosef HaTzadik was Ish Asher Ruach Elokim, who Navon V'Chacham. He's brilliant, right? He knows 70 languages. The Malach taught him. He can't figure out that the Malach is trying to hint to him something. Go home. This is not where you need to be. So he says in 20, Achim Cheda Dibor Lo Sar Maos Fatav Veldenu Shochon Bechadre Libo Shel Yosef. If Yosef HaTzadik on some level is still holding in this place of not perfecting his speech, again on the level of Yosef HaTzadik, Azai Mida Keneged Mida Lo Yavin L'Sfat HaMalach Shabbat Latzibom. Then he can't hear when the Malach speaks to him. He can only hear the simple interpretation they left from here. If one is not careful about speech, one has lost being able to hear the music of speech, the different layers of speech. And this is so true of us, that we have, you know, basically, you know, it's like taking a, you know, I'm not musical, so I can't really give a good example, but like taking the bow of a violin, I'm sure it has a fancier name than bow, and using it to cut bread, or using it to cut even cake. So you say to me, you're using it to cut cake, you're going to, you know, after a while, it's going to lose its fineness, its fine-tunedness, and it's not going to be able to use, to play as well. You say, yeah, what's the big deal? I don't have a knife, so I'll use that instead. You know, shoop, it cuts the cake very beautifully, right? It's taut, shoop. Right, there you go. When we don't use our mouths correctly, it becomes lost. We lost the sensitivity of our mouth, and we're going to lose the sensitivity being able to hear others speak as well. And that's what we have to understand, which obviously in 21, says Rav Gifter, V'nein Safek Yosef HaTzadik Asa Tshuva Mashe Pagam. Of course, Yosef HaTzadik does Tshuva, but no. The Tshuva sometimes takes a long time, and when something is deep inside of a person like this, that it becomes part and parcel of you and the way you think and who you are, so to speak, the note that you're playing, we have to understand that it's going to be a process to uproot it from a person. And Yosef HaTzadik had to go through that process of being uprooted, right? Which was all those terrible things that happened to him, being sold by the brothers, being sold into slavery, right, as well as the whole story of Eshet Potiphar, everything's happening. And says Rav Gifter, V'yesh lanu b'zeh lekach niflad, kama yikshel lo l'adam l'amod ma'atzmo al nivchei nafsho. We don't even realize sometimes the depth of who and what we are, that we need a Kodesh Baruch Hu to remind us and to give us situations in life that are going to literally be right in front of us and say, ah, this is what I need to work on. Which leads us to the second part of Rashi. The mita keneged mita, the measure for measure, that Yosef HaTzadik is accorded, was not so much as a punishment, but enabling him to do tshuva and to become Yosef HaTzadik. And you see this in all aspects. We'll begin with Pirkei Torah of Gifter. The root of Lashon Hara is a fail to recognize man as having been created b'tzelem Elokim in the divine image. One could not possibly speak evil of another if one considered him the embodiment of Hashem's image. Therefore, in order to repent for speaking Lashon Hara, one must better one's recognition that the other person is a Tzelem Elokim. And Yosef achieved this by being sold into slavery, being sold like an animal. A slave loses to some extent man's unique quality of being a Tzelem Elokim, for only animals are sold by one master to another, but not elevated creatures of a divine nature. In being sold, Yosef was imbued with a greater recognition that man is indeed a Tzelem Elokim. So again, what he went through was in order to raise him, in order to sensitize him, not as a punishment, but in order to be able to get Yosef HaTzadik to be able to have that harmony, that perfect music. And know that that says the Tivatara Lulam Deinu She'en Davar Be'olam. No, that what this Rashi is teaching us, that there's nothing in this world She'kareh B'li Cheshbon U'Midah. Everything that happens to us is exact measure. And it's an educational tool to an exact measure. She'kol ma shover hadam mechayav balu kitashlum amaseh kol shehu shasa. Double squiggly. This is really fundamental. Says Rav Gamliel Rabinowitz that whatever happens to us in our lives is a screaming a message to us. Why is this happening? It is a mirror to be able for us to look inside of ourselves and say, what have I done that needs to be improved? That's how we have to understand it. We have to understand that there is a judgment and there's a depth to a judgment and that everything is so exact. Obviously, Yosef HaTzadik's punishment, which is very, very severe, is because Kodesh Baruch Hu's medaktik with the tzadikim kechud asayra. Kodesh Baruch Hu is very exacting with the, to a hair's breadth, with tzadikim. Nevertheless, the limud gadol hi l'chol adam b'chol mako. We have to look at this in our own lives. When something happens to us, instead of our first recourse being, hey, why is this happening? It's not fair. V'chule, stop. What's the message for me? What have I done that needs to be improved? Where do I need to work on the harmony within me? Where have I, in my playing music to God, have gone off key? I'm playing the wrong song, and I have to be reminded and said, hello, stop. That's not what we're up to. That's not the notes that you're supposed to be playing. That's not who you are. That's not who you can be. That's not who you should be. And this is what we have to understand. And he says that Inyan Hanhagas Kodesh Baruch Hu Mita Keneged Mita, even in our time of Hester Pani, of concealment, one can still see a Mita Keneged Mita, a measure for measure. And we have to recognize this, that things aren't random and life isn't random. And that's really the second message. The first message is the severity of speech. And part of that message is leadership has to build and not destroy. And the second message for today is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us measure for measure as a building process. And everything is exact. And this is Ber Yosef, Rav Yosef Solant. Says, well, let's take a look at one of these measure for measures. We spoke about the being a slave. That's clear, how that's a measure for measure, calling them a slave, losing the sensitivity of the Tzelem Elokim. We get it. How about the one that the Nisayon of Eshet Potiphar? Is this really a measure for measure? Hallo Yosef Itzit Kato, Ma Ben Nisayon B'Zeh Ha'inya. He was able to withstand. He did fall. So where do you see that that's a measure for measure that he accused them of doing things that were inappropriate? Again, he accused them, not that they did it, but that they were, you know, wanting to do this, or they had intentions to do this, but not. Well, where's the measure for measure here? Right, Yosef HaTzadik? So he says, very beautifully, he says everything is so exact. We know on the pasuk Vayiachar Dvarim Eileh Chatu Mashkim Melech Mitzrayim that the Tzar Mashkim Tzar Ofim sinned, and Rashi brings down why was it necessary to have the story here? It's because the headline news for the last 9 years, right? What women were talking about when they were washing their clothes was what Yosef HaTzadik wanted to do with Mrs. Potiphar, and Hashem said, you know what? Enough is enough, and let's change the headline news to have something, you know, bigger and greater that is that's going to take people's attention. That's the exact thing here. That he said about the brothers that they're suspect about immoral relations. So too, it was said about him that he was suspect about immoral relations, that he too wanted to. That was the news on the street, that he too wanted to be with Mrs. Potiphar. So you see here, mamish, the measure for measure, not the story of Eshet Potiphar, but rather the fact that he said about his brothers they were suspect about, that was his lashon hara. they are suspect about doing these things or thinking these things or acting in these ways. So too, he was suspect. Not that he actually did it, but that he was suspect about it, and that was the Lashon Hara that was going around. That is the Midah Keneged Midah, the measure for measure. And on the next page, as that Traga points out, Kishadam Oseh, Rav Grossbar, Tzatzal 32, Kishadam Oseh Aveira Klapei Shamayim, O Klapei Chaveira, when you sin toward Hashem or toward a friend, Lamito Sheldavar La'atzma Hu Oseh, really, it's a boomerang. You're really acting to yourself. It comes to back to slap you in your face. You put the fire, the pot on the fire to cook something. So because you put the pot on the fire, so now you're going to be cooked in that same pot. Again, it's an idiom, and this is the idea here. And that's why that the fact that he suspected them of eating an animal alive, they shechted the animal before they dip the blood into it. It's all coming from him. Life is coming from us. Measure for measure, not really a punishment. You do this to yourself. What you did to others or want to do to others, it's going to happen to you. Which means, in simple English, be very careful what you do with others. Be careful what you say about others. Because this is the measure for measure. This is what you think, this is what you want to do, this is what you have done. It's going to come back, we say in English, to haunt you. And that's the measure for measure. So my friends, let's summarize what we've seen. And our final idea is going to be very powerful. Idea number one, Yosef Tzadik again on his level, saying everything that he saw about his brothers was a lack of leadership. It was a nar. It was off-key. That's what it was. And when you go off-key, and then, you know, anyone who knows music is going to, like, you know, react. Oh my gosh, they just went off key. Son of Rachel Imenu, he should have been careful with his speech. Vuhunar. He didn't see the full implications. He's still young. He lost Kahuna Malchus. Speech is so powerful. He learned what it means to be like an animal, someone who doesn't have control of the Tzelem Elokim, of the divine image in them. This is the reality. And we have to be so careful what we say, exact measure, and not beyond that. And this is something that we have to take into our lives. Second idea, measure for measure, is Hashem is teaching us to become the people He envisions us. He has a certain, you know, like musical score that He wants all of us to play. And we have to know the notes. And when we're off key and we do things we shouldn't do, we are reminded right in front of us what we've done wrong, and we have to learn those mitas keneged mita as a learning element. And that's what happened to Yosef HaTzadik. You are suspect. It's going to be said about you to be suspect. You called others a slave. You're going to be called a slave. You're going to be a slave. All of this is measure for measure to build a person, have a person grow. And when Hashem punishes, it's always for our benefit. So now we come to our final piece in understanding this Rashi. And that is trying to understand what was Yosef HaTzadik thinking. What was the deeper understanding going on here? So I'd like to share a very beautiful piece from Rav Michal Tversky Shlita, Sefer Yoram Hayam. And he says the following. Hello, 33, al Yosef HaTzadik v'shifteka anu medabrim. Me'ech yitachein sheYosef yachshod bahem midvrim kochamurim. It doesn't make sense. I understand Ben Noach, Ben Israel, but these are very, very severe things. How could it be that he's thinking this way? And how could the brothers have acted in a way that was open for this type of interpretation? And the way that he presents this, and I want us to understand this for our own lives as well, is the following. He says, "Ve'en lanu esek ben isteros im kol zegesh lanu klor limud l'fi arkeinu." I don't understand the deeper understandings here, but I want to take one lesson, since we're Twersky, for our lives. And that's based on a maisa of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh once was in his wagon, his famous wagon, with his chassidim. And as they're driving, whatever you do with wagons, he said to his chassidim, he says, "I want you to know, you can tell a lot about the way a person talks. You know where a person's holding." He says, "If you listen to this wagon driver, you can tell that he's not careful about Taras HaMishpacha." And the chassidim are like, "Huh? Like, how can you tell about a person from their conversations?" So then, a little bit while later, they were in an inn, and the wagon driver comes into the innkeeper and says, "Can I have a drink?" And the wagon driver and the innkeeper says, "You're going to have to wait a few minutes because my cups are now being toveled, are being, you know, dipped in the mikvah, and you have to wait a few minutes till you can, you know, get them back, and then I'll give you a drink." And the wagon driver says, "Mali tvuli, mali enam tvuli, ma'ikar she'amashke. Who cares if they are in the mikvah or not? The key is that I have a drink." All right, and again, that was a clear indication that he wasn't really careful about his wife going to the mikvah or not. So you see that from the way people speak, you can learn a lot about them. Again, you know, take this with with care. Handle with care, yeah. So then the Baal Shem Tov goes on and explains. He says, "Kol negoyim adam ro'eh chutz v'nigei atzmo." Chazal tell us that a person is able, a kohen, to judge any type of negoyim, any type of sarat on a person, except you can't judge it on yourself. On a deeper level, says the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, "Kol negoyim adam ro'eh chutz." When a person sees negaim, sees defects, he's seeing it outside, which means, "Haynu hanegaim sheim chutzalo, menigei atzmohem." Whenever you see a chisaron, something wrong in another, you're really seeing it in yourself. So Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh's teaching is that if you want to be able to understand people, first, listen to their conversations, what they talk about gives you a sense of who they are. That's point one. And point two is, if you want to get a sense of people, be careful, because you first have to look inside of yourself, because you often see others from your own vantage point. V'alkein ro'eh chitzaron zeh etzal cheirim. L'chein im adam mavchim chitzaron ba'adam acher, double underline, double squiggly. If you see something wrong in another, yeida ne'manah shalah livdot b'toch atzmo, b'chorim b'stakim, l'mso shavar shavrim b'toch tachtio. Look inside of yourself before you say things about another person. Because really, you know, and you see it so clearly. A girl could go out with a boy and say, "Oh my gosh, this boy is such a balgaiva. He's so haughty." And then another girl goes out with him and says, "What do you mean? I didn't see any haughtiness." Right? A person reflects back on themselves. 35. So this is perhaps what Rashi means, that Yaakov Avinu, Yosef Atzadik, told his father the conversations that the brothers had, and from these conversations you can learn a lot about them. And Yosef HaTzadik was able to see that they were weakened in these areas, because this is what they were talking about. So Yosef HaTzadik, by repeating over the conversations, was deducing that this must be where their areas of weakness is. Omnam kasher b'emet lo kein haya, that really wasn't true. El she'eze shemes ktana v'daka nimsa itzo Yosef ba'atzmo. In this case, it wasn't that the brothers were suspect in these areas as much as, and that's why you have to be so careful, Yosef HaTzadik himself was, I don't want to use the word weak, needed improvement in these areas, and therefore he mirrored what was going on inside himself onto his brothers. And that is where on the level of Yosef Tzaddik, he went off. By telling what he heard the brothers talking about, he was so sure that these were the issues that they had problems about. Stop. Before you go thinking about what other people are saying, why are you thinking these things? Right? And again, the Yoram HaYam itself, the Sefer goes through understanding what they were talking about on the deepest of level. Ever Mina Chai is about, do you... Are you part of your father? Do you create your own Avodas Hashem? Each thing is like the deepest of the deep. While Yosef HaTzadik is interpreting it in the most literal way, is on some level, some small level, Dak Min HaDak, he himself is falls prey to this. And this is, leaving Rashi for a moment, this is the issue in our lives. When it says, Hocheach Tochiach Et Amitecha, you should judge at your brother. At always to it comes to include. Who does it include? That's right, yourself. You have to rebuke yourself because the lo tisa alav chay don't have his sin added alav unto your sin because you are suffering from this very thing. And that is why when he sees the brothers are calling the Bnei Ashvachos Avodim, in his mind, it must be that Yosef HaTzadik himself referred to them as Avadim. As El Yosef points out, Cross in 39, it could be that they're Avdei Hashem. Why are you assuming when he calls them Avadim that they're in a negative way, in a pejorative way? It could be in a very beautiful way. Wow, look at these Avdei Hashem. It must be that Yosef HaTzadik himself viewed them in this way and therefore saw them in this way. And that's what we need to understand. That life, says the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and the Aaron 37, Shiudi Acher Yishamesh Kemo Mar'eh L'Chaveiro. This is it. What we see is a mirror for us. And what we're going to see in the mirror, and the way we interpret what we see in the mirror, is very much what's going on deep inside of ourselves. And that's why we have to be so careful not to judge any other person, because we don't know what is really going on. And that's why when you hear something and you hear people talking about something and our immediate response is, oh, if they're talking about this, they must be... Stop. We don't know what they must be. And if you're immediately assuming it must be, stop right there. And again, if you love about Shem Tov HaKadosh, you'll be able to, you know, continue. But if you're not in the love of Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, stop right there and ask yourself, why do you automatically think they're speaking something negative? What is it in you that you're hearing this conversation that's bringing up the following ideas and thoughts? And that's why we can't judge another, because every time we judge another, we're judging them from our own prism, and our own prism is so narrow. That's why Rabbi Pliskin in Consulting the Wise says, when you are in a situation and there's personal bias in this, besides having your own position, always try to view the situation from the other person's position. This will give you greater insight into what you should and should not say. We have to see things from perspective. With this in mind, my friends, we go back to our original question. Yaakov Avinu hears these things from his son, and his response is to make him a ketonet pasuk. So says the Ora Olam, Rav Moshe David Valley, who was the teacher of the Ramchal. He says, "V'Yakovinu haya yodea shorashoa chashuv shel Yosef v'tivo atov." He just saw goodness in him. He was mochel. He knows it's narishkeit. He's young, so he forgave him so easily because Yaakov Avinu saw his brothers as being good, saw Yosef HaTzadik as being good, and therefore it wasn't something that was going to bother him. Because he's looking at it from the pristine level of Yosef of Yaakov Avinu, who saw goodness in his sons, who saw goodness in the brothers. A little bit different, say for Aros from Epstein Zatzal himself in 41, speaks about that perhaps Yosef HaTzadik was saying to his father, look how great the brothers are. You would expect more from them. And that approach, Yaakov Avinu says, wow, yes, you look at your brothers in such a beautiful way. And it gives him even a higher level of appreciation. It's all about perspective. You can take the same story that Yosef HaTzadik said Lashon Hara about the brothers, that Yosef HaTzadik was saying to his father, the brothers should be on a higher level. This is not where, it's pashness, they shouldn't behave this way. Perspective. perspective is about what is the linchpin in everything that we're speaking about. But this in mind, my friends, our final idea. With this, understanding that we all see things through our own vantage point, and we all judge things from where we are in our small narrowness, we can appreciate what the Matnat Chaim, Rabbi Yisrael Salomon, brings down, 42 and 43, that you look at Parsha Vayeshev and it makes no sense. That Yosef Atzadik speaking negatively about the brothers are hating him, the brothers are selling him, Yaakov Avinu is showing favoritism, none of this makes sense. And we really have to look at it on two levels. On one level, each of them is acting from their own small place, responding to the situations at hand where they are holding. At the same time, there is the gezeira of Vayishalcheihu me'emek Chavron that Yaakov Avinu sends Yosef from the depth of Chevron, which is from the Bris Ben Absarim, that they have to go into Golos. Everyone does what they do, and sometimes it makes no sense, and we don't understand it. Understand that a Kodesh Baruch Hu takes the actions of every person and weaves out of it a beautiful tapestry of the way he wants things to happen. So, Yosef HaTzadik is seeing the brothers in the way he sees them. That's the ownership of Yosef HaTzadik, and he has to go through experiences in life in order to purge him of these biases. At the same time, him looking at it this way causes the brothers to view him in a certain way. The brothers viewing him in a certain way causes them to hate him, which causes Yosef HaTzadik to be sold, which is about Yosef HaTzadik not understanding the Moloch, which is about Yaakov Avinu favoring one son. All of this are dynamics that are going on in the family, and at the same time, the will of God is being orchestrated. And that's what we need to understand in our lives. There are many players in this saga. Each person went about his own business. And at the same time, unbeknownst to them, they're being guided in the path they needed to travel to reach the light of Mashiach. The same holds true for their descendants. The Jewish people throughout the generation, we each have free choice. We each have a choice of how we want to live our life. Yet despite what we might plan to accomplish through our actions, Hashem has his own plan for us. He stands above, guiding our every movement in perfect choreography in order to fulfill his own plan. Our responsibility is careful of our speech. We have to put brakes. Our responsibility is leadership. Our responsibility is when things happen in our lives to see what message can I learn, to be able to see where I've gone off key, to be able to play perfect music. I have to understand that when I look at others and judge others, I'm judging him as a reflection of me. That's all of my responsibility. I need to work on myself. At the same time that I am acting in the way that I'm acting and working on myself in the way I am, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is using all of us as puppets. That all of our actions, done with all of our foibles and all of our limitations, are all leading to a much greater and grander picture. And as much as we live on the micro level, we simultaneously live on the macro level, which is the upshot of, my friends, is when we begin to improve ourselves, when we begin to work on ourselves playing that beautiful music, then indeed we have switched the dance of our own lives and the lives of those around us. And in that way, we are indeed bringing the goodness of the ultimate redemption that much closer.